I'll do that all again. Sorry, Hank. Thank you. Thank you for joining us at the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. It is May 15th, 2025. We do have a quorum. We have one member missing, which we'll talk about in a minute on our agenda. But first, we would like to do a moment of silence before we do the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. LeFay, would you like to leave us in the pledge?
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Do we have some announcements?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have some announcements. I'll go ahead and start, and then we're going to run a little slideshow and talk about our upcoming activities, and then bring up a special guest. Let's start with a couple things that have been going on my end, because I'm going to talk about me. Yeah, you know. Did another guest lecture at Cal Poly's Experience Industry Management, one of their classes in hospitality and tourism. These poor kids sit there and listen to me for about an hour and a half, and then we take some questions and such. So it's kind of fun to come back and excuse me, and speak at my alma mater. We also have a Cal Poly Experience Industry Management intern. She's working with us from April through June. Her name is Kate Breed, and you'll meet her in just a moment. Some other things that we're working on here is I meet with Visit Morro Bay twice a month, and we discuss tourism and events where we can work together and help to market one another's events, and it's just kind of keeping us both on the same, or all of us on the same page here in the city with regards to events. So that's something I've been doing for this last year or so. And then just to mention, this Saturday we've got the Chamber of Commerce's annual gala event. That Saturday, I think around 5 o'clock or so. And this one is a bit special. The Chamber, in their kindness, has not only are they mentioning recognizing Business of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, Citizen of the Year. There's also a nod to a City Employee of the Year. And that was really gracious, I thought, of them to include us in their event. And the staff person selected is our city clerk, Dana Swanson. So she'll be recognized Saturday night. That's what I have. And now I'm going to turn on the slideshow.
Thank you.
It's really loud.
Good evening, commissioners. Our first fun event that I'll start with letting you know that this is very busy season for us right now. We are gearing up for summer and finishing all our spring things, so we are kind of like chickens without our heads right now, but it's a fun thing because we know what the outcome's going to be. So to start us off, this Saturday is our 18th annual Mermaid, Sea Creature, and Pirate Parade. It's very similar to what we've always done, but we'll start at 10:30 down at the rock, where the boardwalk meets the rock, I guess is what we say. And you'll come in your best pirate, sea creature, mermaid outfits, and all participants get a goodie bag with lots of fun stuff. But this year, we just want to highlight some of our great donors. The Shell Shack donated 7 pounds of shells, so every child gets a couple real shells. Carousel Taffy donated 6 pounds of taffy, so each child gets taffy, along with some other fun items. And then some other local businesses donated different prizes for a participation giveaway. So you'll get to spin the wheel. It's a parrot wheel, so parrot participation wheel. And the kids will get to have opportunities to get prizes or win these giveaways. And then, of course, we end our whole entire party. We refer to it as a a celebration at Dockside with the generous donation from Mark Tognazzini and his crew. They provide a whole party and food for all the participants, and we can continue our mermaid sea creature and pirate party there. So hopefully we can see you guys there. Put your best Captain Hook hat on.
Can we come disguised as just regular people?
Of course. We would love to have spectators watching.
Thank you.
And then this is our summer kickoff camp out. I've told you guys about our Kids Night Out events, but this is our May Kids Night Out event. We kick it off. It's camping in Morro Bay, but we camp inside, and it's only for a few hours. But it's $25. You bring your kiddos there from 5 to 8, and they can have a whole camping experience. They even make s'mores for dessert and hot dogs for dinner. It's a fun thing, and the kids like this one because it kicks off the summer, because a week later, school's out. And this is actually, as you all know, near and dear to my heart, Kids Camp. We have opened registration. We have over 150 families who are going to be using us this summer for our summer camp. That being said, I just today finished 2 full days of interviews. We had 50 applicants for our summer program and 22 returners. So we have been in there since 9 a.m. the last 2 days doing interviews every like 15 minutes, depending on the age group. But we have a lot of great candidates. It will be a tough decision tomorrow, but we do definitely need them because we have so many kids this year. But we have a fun summer planned. We'll do our typical swim lessons on Mondays at the Morro Bay High School pool. We will do, we have some really great special guests coming out. We have some fun activities that have been planned. And then every Thursday, we're gonna be taking a trip. We're gonna do some local trips, our annual scavenger hunt through Morro Bay, which is always fun. We'll go out to Avila Valley Barn and go to the pool and the barn. And then every Friday, we're gonna end with a party. This year, our theme is Kids Camp Over the Rainbow. Each week will be a specific color, and then the theme of that week will be based on the color. So my best example is blue week will be ocean. And so all the activities we'll be doing are ocean. We'll be going to the beach. We'll be having, I believe we have a sea creature party at the end of the week. So it's been fun. Our team has done a great job at planning this program. And I can say that this is the first year I've been so extra proud of our program, because the day registration opened, which was the 30th of March, we had families calling at 8 a.m. ready to like register and get their kids into our summer program. So we're excited. We can't wait to share how the summer goes.
That's amazing.
And then our very last thing that we've got going is, I know I'm talking about summer, but we're already starting for the school year. We have registration will open. It actually opens tonight. Del Mar is hosting their open house tonight, so part of my team is out there right now, and they will be doing registration for our summer care program, our school year program, as well as telling families about all the summer opportunities we have. And then just a little insight on our school year program. As you know, it has had a lot of participants because of our partnership with the school district. We partner with them so that they can provide the subsidized care for probably 75 to 80% of our families who attend our programs. But this year, we're doing something a little different where we are we haven't come up with all the terms yet with the district, but we're co-running the TK program. So transitional kindergarten, the state of California has decided to make transitional kindergarten mandatory for all. As an opportunity for all families, but a full day opportunity where teachers probably can only teach that age group for a few hours. It's not an all day thing. So they approached me and my team and asked if this was something we could assist with. So what we'll do is half of the kids will go to school for a few hours, and then after that, they'll come to our program, and we'll run more of like a child care program, but still doing a lot of the things they do in transitional kindergarten, and then vice versa. We'll keep the afternoon crew. They'll stay with us in the morning and then go to school. So that will be an interesting participation or partnership that we have planned. The details are not fully worked out as the school district hasn't figured it all out yet, but I do know that Del Mar has 28 transitional kindergartners that are signed up for this school year. So there's the potential of us having a 28 student group. So they have a finalizing all of it next week, so then we'll know a little more details, but we're there to support them. And my team's really excited about it. That does mean our program will be open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., no closure time. So that will mean a little more additional staffing, but again, with the partnership with the district, they support that financially. So we're excited to do this.
Yes, I've heard from some of the daycares in the area that it's actually going to hurt the private daycares, but it becomes a benefit to the city. And you will be hiring more people, and it is going to be a daycare type of situation, which we really haven't. I don't know that I consider Kids Club daycare, per se. But maybe.
Yeah, we're childcare. We're a licensed childcare program, so okay. I think I would consider that. And again, I don't think it'd be daycare because we're going to be reflecting on the same thing that they would be, the same information and kind of curriculum that the students will be getting at transitional kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So it's just more of introducing them to a full school day. I know, that's.
That's so wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's a tutor speaking.
Yeah.
you need a lot of graham crackers and milk.
Well, what's great is when we partner with the school district, they will offer the students, all because they are San Luis Coastal students, they'll get a morning snack and a lunch. And so we will just take them there, supervise them while they're eating their snacks and lunches, but we won't have to provide that. That's all through the school district.
Yeah. Good that they'll be fit. Any comments or questions on any of those programs yet? Is that your last?
That's it.
Yeah. So any comment? And is your button on?
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious in regard to, is the enrollment closed, that 150 enrollment closed, or might you get more tonight?
We will continue to get more throughout the summer. We don't close it because when I say it's 150 at our summer camp, that's 150 families who will use us at some point. They won't use us every single day. There's a cap for every single day. But what happens is some families come and maybe they're only using us Fridays because they like our activities, or maybe there's a family who's visiting here for the month and they are going to send their kids to our camp for that. So it's just 150 families who at some point will be using our program.
Great. Growing programs. Any other commissioner?
I just wish I was a kid again. No, it looks great. Thank you. It looks like you've done a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Yes, any other announcements or presentations?
Yes, we do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Zink.
All right, regular programming rolls along for the Morro Bay Aquatic Center. Summer's our big swim lesson time period, so we're gearing up for that and rounding out the hiring for swim instructors for the summer. We also have summer experience in partnership with San Luis Coastal at the Morro Bay Aquatic Center this summer. So. You can see all the information up there, and looking forward to this fun summer at the pool. I stepped away from a team creation meeting for flag football tonight, so we've kind of rounded out our flag football registration. It's a great program that is what I would consider to be a safe alternative to tackle football in a non-collision setting where the athletic elements of the game are focused on. And it's Friday nights at Lila Kaiser and Morro Elementary School site. So we'll have the Kiwanis doing barbecuing on Friday nights at Lila Kaiser and probably have some food available through a food truck vendor at the Morro Elementary site. And so that's for kids that are going into first through eighth grade. They all get to wear NFL flag uniforms. So. If you guys are fans of football, come and check out some of the action, and it's a lot of fun. It's a nice and relaxed summer program for Friday nights at Lila Kaiser.
And have you had children that young before?
We've always done first through eighth grade for the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and to be honest with you, it's a game that lends itself to young kids being successful because it's kind of like a big game of tag. You hand a kid a football, and they just get to run away and try to not get tagged on their way to the end zone.
Excellent.
Huge new program this year, an offset of our flag football program, started by our coordinator, Jaslyn Orozco, is a youth cheer. Jaslyn Orozco and Helica is helping out, and some of the youth services folks, credit where credit's due here, for youth cheer. So they will be practicing at the community center and doing practices in the auditorium in the community center. And then they will bring all of their awesome moves. I'm not really a cheer person, so I can't speak to exactly the stunts and maneuvers they'll be doing, but they will be bringing their moves out to Friday night at Lila Kaiser, and it's going to be great. So yeah, I think we have about almost 30 signed up for youth cheer.
Wow, for the first year.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of excitement. I know, yeah, people are looking forward to this. And we'll be doing soccer signups opening this upcoming week here. We're looking forward to another great season of soccer out here on the coast. Games at Lila Kaiser and again, Moore Elementary site. That's a heavily used site there for the grass space. The season will start in fall. So opening day is always the Saturday after Labor Day. And then they will go on through the first or second weekend in November based on what age group you're in. We start at the under six age group, which is co-ed, and then as they go on up, they can go on to play in all-star teams and compete in larger regional tournaments through the Cal South Club Soccer. So it's a great soccer program we have.
Excellent.
And signing up for our next season of co-ed softball, Monday nights at Lila Kaiser. It's a lot of fun. You do have to bear the elements out there on Monday nights if you can manage through the cold. It's a lot of fun. It's a pretty standard seasonal co-ed softball. Yeah, sign-up's going on. And then another very exciting tournament we have coming up. This is for the girls softball. So through our recreational softball, which is through USA Softball, the players have an opportunity to try out for all-star teams. So we have created two all-star teams through our Coast Softball Advisory Board. They help administer the program. It was a board that was started at the end of last softball season. So this board has really taken some ownership in trying to make softball for the girls of the Coast a lot better and more robust. And so we host a softball tournament on Father's Day weekend every summer. And I think we're up to 20 teams signed up so far. I think we just had an 8 and under team sign up from Las Vegas. So, yeah, we'll bring a lot of folks in from all around California and beyond for that weekend. And I think we get some tax revenue from the hotels they stay at, too. So there's something for the commission.
That was going to be my question. Do we help them arrange their housing situation through...
Yes. So we partner with the hotel that's next to the high school has reached out, and they are offering discounts for some of these teams, and we work in collaboration with them to try to set them up with spots and book out numbers of hotel rooms for the teams.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, my turn. Kind of. So real quick, I just wanted to, again, mention that we have a young lady that's an intern doing her internship with us. This is part of the Cal Poly's Experience Industry Management requirements of graduation. So this intern, she started in April and is working on understanding the greater operations of our office and pretty much getting a little taste of everything of what we do. But then she's also working on a special event, which is in front of you on this little flyer, and it's a fundraiser. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up Kate Breed, and she's going to talk about this, and then I'll probably have a few more things to say when she's done. So Kate, why don't you come on up? And you can go right to the podium. There you go.
Just give her a little hand.
Hello.
Thank you for working for us for free.
They pay me a little bit. But hi, I'm Kate. Thank you. So to talk about a night in Greenwich Village, I'm working with the Senior Center and Brady, the senior liaison, to plan this event. It's going to be one of the first fundraisers they put on. So we're planning it to benefit the Altadena Senior Center, which recently, really sadly, burned down in the Eaton fires, which happened in January down in the LA area. And Altadena Senior Center was really successful, really a staple in the community. They had above 900 members at the time when it burned down, and it completely burned down. So they've begun restarting some of their programs, but we wanted to raise some money to help them get some equipment, get kind of back up on their feet. So we decided to do a coffee house night where we're going to have a little bit of music, sell some art, some jewelry, a couple other goods, and some beverages, and we're going to have all proceeds go to the Altadena Senior Center. So this is going to be on Sunday, June 8th. We're going to have music for about an hour and a half. We're also going to have desserts there that are all going to be 60s inspired. So some of the favorite old ones, a little Jell-O, bread pudding, pineapple upside down cake, some classics, I'm
sure.
Stuff
we don't like anymore.
Oh, we'll have some good stuff too, but, you know, where else are you going to get stuff shaped like Jell-O other than at a night in Greenwich Village? So you could get general admission for $20, or we have VIP tickets available for $30. You get premium wine, front row seating, and some nicer quality seating. So we would love to see our commission there and support for the Altadena Senior Center. They could really use some help from their neighbors up north, and we'd love to do something to help them out. So that's why we're putting it on. And I've been having so much fun working here in the recreation department. It's been a great opportunity, and I've learned so much. So
how much longer will you be with us?
I will be here until June 8th. around there. I graduate on June 15th, so somewhere between those times I'll be ending.
And just one more question. Where do we get flyers that we could pass out?
I forgot to bring some with me today, but I would be happy to drop some off to whoever. If you'd like some flyers, we have plenty to go around.
Okay. We can stop by the office and pick them up?
Yeah. We have lots of flyers all around. There's some in the senior office as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any commissioners have questions?
I can't quite read because of eyes, but
pull your mic down.
Too short. Anyway, what is the time frame on this?
So we're going to open our doors at 5 o'clock, and we'll have music starting at 6 o'clock, and that'll go till 7:30, and that's when the event's going to be over.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
and maybe
guys.
This will become a new standard for us.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. It sounds like a fun evening, and we want to get the word out so we can have some folks attend, so we can raise the dollars for our brothers and sisters down south. We're looking for donors, and Morro Bay Senior Center Incorporated has graciously offered to match what we raise up to $2,500.
Wow.
So we're looking for people with deep pockets that would like to help us out and attend the event and also donate. So thank you again. Thank you, Kate.
And that's the end of our presentations?
Yes, it is. Back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. Mr. Drew, as our citizen liaison, do you want to speak to the seniors?
Sure. I've been hanging out with the seniors, and of course, they'd like more pickleball courts. That's one of their main focuses. But other than that, they have a lot going on down there. And of course, here they are helping donate money to all these causes. And so I highly suggest that you not only visit the Morro Bay City website, the Recreation Service website, but the Morro Bay Seniors, because there's so many things going on now that summer's kicking off, just events after events. So but seniors are doing great, and gotta love them. They're wonderful people. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
One of them.
Thank you. It's now time for public comment. If there's anyone that would like to speak to something that's not on the agenda, we're more than happy to have you come speak to us at the mic. If not, we'll just be entertaining for you. Okay. Thank you, audience. And I will, for the audience at home, know that there are people in the audience this evening, which is something we'll talk about later. Okay, we'll move on then to the consent agenda. Excuse me. I want to thank Mr. Carmichael for bringing us, I don't know, is it amended if it's, I guess because we've already had one set of minutes in our packet, that we have an amended set that expanded on our goals that we set at our last meeting 2 months ago, and that got carried forward by our city manager, Ms. Kimball, to the city council's goal setting. And I want to express my appreciation for the expanded minutes, so we know what these commissioners felt were important at, for the city and for what we do for our people. So thank you for that. So if there's no questions, I'd ask for a motion to adopt the amended minutes.
I make a motion that we adopt all amendments, the amended and okay. regular amendments.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second for adopting our minutes. And I see that I could have done that for all the consent items. Ms. Swall, may I yes. ask you to expand that to amend your motion to include all consent items?
All right. I will amend the motion to include all consent items.
Mr. Costanzo?
Yeah, would you like me to second that a second time?
Please. Thank you. Yes. Okay. All in favor, we'll just do a voice vote. Do we accept consent?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Passes unanimously. Moving on to public hearings, we have none. We'll be moving on to our business items, and we'll turn this back over to staff for their reports.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is going to be a standing item on our agenda, I have a feeling. So I went ahead and included that. As you did see in your packet, I have no official report. However, we do have members in the audience who were working on gathering up some information for us with regards to pickleball. The last we spoke, we don't have anything further. However, I will turn to the audience to see if we do have anything else out there that we wanted to share. That's fine. You don't have to.
We're still rocking along.
We'd love to invite you to the podium just for the moment, if you don't mind.
I knew that. Yeah, it's still moving right along. We still are often in need of more courts. We still have a very friendly group. We pack it out nearly every day, but a good thing was Mother's Day was rather empty. I thought that was really nice. Well, okay, but we have the one proposal before the engineer for how it's supposed to be done, and I think I've sent you a copy, Kurt.
Yeah. No, I haven't received the statistics that you had done about where folks live.
Or
the engineer's report. Yeah. I haven't received anything.
Okay. Yeah, because they just, I talked to the city engineer. And they were looking over the proposal that we sent. And she wanted to know if there was other options. And to speak to that, is this young man here? Come on up, Marcus. This is Marcus Duplantis. He's an engineer. He's the one that drew up the proposal. And speak to the three locations.
Hi, okay. Hello, folks. Thank you very much for having me tonight. I'm not an engineer. I'm an architect.
Do you mind giving us your name? You yes. don't have to, but if you'd like to.
No, I would love to. My name is Marcus Desplantes.
Thank you.
I live in over in Baywood. Mm-hmm. And the Del Mar courts are my home courts. I've been practicing there now for about 5 years now. As Rich said, it's a busy little place, and those additional courts would mean a tremendous value for our community. With regards to the design, I don't know if anybody has seen the drawing that I did. Okay, well, without that, I can talk to the three different locations that we're talking about the courts going. The first one that we were first looking to do was the existing basketball court, which is to, the, I guess, the immediate east of our courts, just opposite the tennis courts. That has some issues with regards to the basketball court itself is just actually a little bit smaller than we would be needing for four additional courts. It's very close, but not quite the same size. The biggest issue there, though, is the location of the basketball court, because, I mean, obviously we want to make sure that they have a place to play, too. So with that in mind, we've talked about, okay, where if we put the pickleball courts at the existing basketball courts, which is, I think, is really the primary thing that we really want to do first, because there's a lot of synergy with the game. Pickleball is a very social game. If any of you played, we're playing in a space about between me and you folks right there, and so we can be chatting back and forth while we're hitting balls at each other. It's a very and then if you go to the courts, there's literally lots and lots of people just chatting it up. It's a very conversational space, social space. So the location of the four additional courts would mean a lot to us if they were adjacent to the existing courts, because again, it's all about community of the pickleball community. Okay, but with that, okay, so if we put the pickleball courts there, where are we gonna put the basketball courts? The first one we first thought of is over the hill towards where the volleyball courts would be. There's some issues with regards to that because it is in a waterway. Although I've talked to a couple of engineers that have worked in that waterway, that doesn't seem to be a problem with regards, if you think about it, it's just a big flat space over there of grass. What we'd be adding there is some additional flat space, but making it concrete. So in terms of restricting water to run through there, I don't think would be an issue. Barring that, if we said, okay, we don't like that space, where else could we put it? Another place that we've talked about is the amphitheater space, which is just off the parking lot. It's not used a bunch, and when I first looked at that, I thought, well, it's not I'm going to call it the depression in that space is not quite wide enough for the basketball courts. But if you think of it this way, instead of carving additional space to put the basketball courts in, you add dirt to the hole, and what it does makes the hole less deep, and it creates a wider space. So it actually would be a really good place for lots of reasons. One, it would be actually very close for the basketball guys to be able to play. We've been over there, and there are sometimes the city and the school leagues have got some great basketball players over there, and it's used well. So it's something that we thought that it would complement them. So that was probably the best place. The last place we talked about, and we'll probably raise some hair on this one, but this is the tennis courts, the existing tennis courts. There's two courts there, and we said, I know that there's some issues with regards to when those courts or part of those courts would be available. It's my understanding that it would be available in the nearest future, year and a half, I don't really know. But I actually went over and measured over there, and we can put four courts over there and still save one tennis court. Because for every tennis court, you can put four pickleball courts. And if you've been, they did the same thing over at in Los Osos at the community park over there. They did exactly the same thing. It's not, it's not really conducive for that because it's the courts get really close. And it's, one of the best parts about our courts right now is that there's actually a lot of space between the individual courts. And it's one of the better places. I play in Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cambria, San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles. I play in all the courts, Pismo Beach, all of them around here. And our courts, although we fight with the surface on those courts because it wasn't originally designed for a pickleball courts. It was, I guess, a roller hockey rink. So we're struggling with the surface, but we're trying to keep that up. But the best part about those courts is that there's a lot of space around them, and they're one of the best courts around. If you think I've covered everything? So I think it's something we'd really like for you folks to consider. The numbers that we've tried to generate with regards to people occupying the courts, not only the locals, but primarily the ones out of town, which are huge because they bring along with the pickleball, they bring, you know, access to hotels and restaurants and all the things that the city of Morro Bay would really love to have. If you have any questions, I'm here for you.
I guess my initial question would be, as you're formalizing these architectural plans, you then would submit them to our planning department, and then they would circulate back to us. I think that's the procedure. Does anyone else have an idea about that?
Yeah, what I understand is city staff will not move forward on this project until it's been given direction by city council. So I think a lot of the preliminary work that's going on here is going to need to be packaged up and then presented to city council for their discussion and then their vote and direction.
And would we want to give them our opinion about that? Give city council our opinion about that before they decide?
Yes, I think we would want to discuss that, pros and cons, costs and all that, and priorities with regards to other park projects, things like that. We can have that greater conversation. Or we can just move forward with our recommendation and let city council go ahead and deliberate on those other items.
Okay. Yeah. No comment?
Well,
or question?
No, I mean, it's on, yeah. Well, there seems to be a need for more pickleball courts. And if you look, I mean, all the other cities around here are adding pickleball courts. Mm-hmm. And I've got friends down in Texas and Florida telling me they're building indoor air-conditioned pickleball courts. So I think it's here to stay. It's just a question of the practicality of the location and the feasibility. And again, priorities. The city has a lot. Mm-hmm. So, but I see a need.
Okay, and you would welcome them to come back to us for a recommendation to give to council?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Costanzo or Ms. Wall?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. I appreciate it. I'd like to see those plans on how that would,
Work glad
at the park. I frequent that park often. That's a great park.
It is.
And that was my thought, too, was the amphitheater would be that's a great, good idea to do a little infill to bring that up to widen that for a court. What a great idea.
I think it works. It works not only for the basketball community. Gives them, it's easier access for them. Mm-hmm. And the plans that I've done add 4 additional pickleball courts. It adds a small building that could be used for a snack bar, or if we held tournaments, we could, it would be a central organization, a headquarters space. It's not a big building, but we're talking about something like maybe 10 by 15, or, it's a small building like that, but, it could have, like you have at the football games, those kind of things where you could pop up like that and people could come, you guys serve snacks, have drinks there. It would include a water fountain, and also a a real bulletin board for that would service not only the pickleball community, but the dog park and the basketball courts, you know, just basically a essential place that we could post stuff from the park. And an adjacent sitting area, and we were thinking that maybe with a shade canopy, those kind of things, to give place for viewing. Because there's, especially if we had 8 courts, we could hold tournaments there. 4 courts is really tough. It's my understanding that it has happened in the past, but that the tournaments are so small. We go to tournaments all around. One of the biggest ones, that are local ones that happen all the time, is up in Templeton, and they do it with 8 courts. And it brings a lot of people in. And it could be a real asset for the city of Morro Bay.
And I think that'll go a long way if you can enhance the park, too, for, you know, for other people at the park. That will go a long way of getting it prioritized.
We have a lot of people from all those other parks,
yeah,
Cambria, and they come down to Morro Bay, especially over the hill, the Paso group and the Tascadero and Templeton. It gets hotter and snot up there, and so everybody comes to the beach. Bakersfield, the valley. A lot of people right now, you know, this is that time of year right now where we have a lot of people coming in and visiting us, which is wonderful for us because it gives us new faces. We talked about socialization. You know, it brings the pickleball community goes beyond just Morro Bay. It's got a lot of branches. I do have a question, though. I want to make sure that we understand the documentation that you're not getting, and I want to make sure whether it's the drawing that I've done, and you said some engineering drawings. I don't know what that would be. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, I was just repeating what Mr. Rob had said. He had engineering drawings, and that's what. So I have not received any drawings, nor the the study on the where folks are coming from to play.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle, I would think, here for this city council is to justify spending Morro Bay tax dollars on facilities that are going to accommodate those that are trying to escape the heat from Paso Robles. We might find ourselves better served to lobby the city of Paso Robles to build indoor courts for their people, and therefore leaving ours, you know, open and available for our residents.
They're already doing that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're doing that.
Yeah. Because I do know,
but it's not only just the. It's not. You know, I just picked on those, but it's not just the people over the hill.
Right.
We have
a
tremendous number of people in Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, all over the place, L.A. that are coming in to visit us. You know, Morro Bay has a lot of amenities besides pickleball, and they're here for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
And but when those people come in, they're bringing their paddles too.
Nice.
Yeah.
But that's just my suggestion
to
help to really bolster you know, the argument here for expenditure of tax dollars.
Thank you for that clarification.
Of course. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know. I'd be happy to take a look at the documents. I think that's exciting. And then again, for Mr. Rob, the results of his study.
Did I understand that the senior citizens wanted to fund some of this?
Currently, the Morro Bay Senior Center Incorporated, they help to manage. They have an MOU to manage our courts Monday through Saturday, and through that they take in donations, and with those donations they help to fund the resurfacing of the pickleball courts. That's what I understand.
Okay.
The dollars.
Not for the new, because that's what Drew did. Help me, didn't?
Well,
Drew?
I believe they want to start a GoFundMe. Once we get to that
point
where they have to come up with funds.
Mm-hmm. So they do want to enter in the costs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got lots of ideas in terms of fundraising. We've talked everything from, what do you call it, personalized bricks. You know, you know, people pay $100 to put a brick in the walkway or something. We've talked about, we have one of our local players is a band member. He was at the Siren last 2 weeks or so. He he's offered to bring his band down and play in the amphitheater for free. And there's lots of ways that we can generate income. By the drawing that I've done to get it laminated, put up on the board, put it up, because we say, okay, we're going to add courts, but what's the vision? Well, my drawing shows them the vision. And with the GoFundMe, and then having you've seen those, I'm going to call it thermometer, mm-hmm. thermometer things where you can see people can say, hey, yeah. But we have people, there's lots of people with discretionary income that would be loved to be able to say, hey, just now show me the vision, I'll write you a check. And I know that if we can get that vision in front of them, that money will come. I know it'll come.
And are you putting approximate prices on the three different locations? Like how much it would cost?
I think what we need to do is settle on where we're going to put things. Like, first of all, I believe that the best place to put the basketball court is in the amphitheater, and put together a preliminary number, because we need to have a goal. You can't just say, well, just whatever, to have a real goal so people can know where they're shooting for. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be done on a preliminary basis. Without full engineering drawings, my drawing is a schematic plan. It's a visionary drawing. It doesn't have topo and engineering for utilities and all of that. It's not a set of construction drawings that someone can go out and bid and create numbers. But contractors worth their salt can look at it and say, okay, well, a pickleball court is X amount of dollars per square foot. The nets are X amount of dollars. The fences are this and that. The lights are this, or whatever we're planning. The building is $150 a square foot. I mean, they can put some real numbers to it. So we can have at least a ballpark range. We're talking, is it a 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, whatever it might be, but at least we're not saying, well, we don't know. And I think that's going to be an important part of the presentation, not only the fundraising, but probably to the city council, I would guess, too. And we're hoping that the city can participate in providing some of those funds at the same time as, make it a joint effort. It's really needed, and I think that the city would benefit from it as well as our community.
Thank you so much for coming this evening and giving us more detail.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
I would guess that either Mr. Carmichael or Mr. Lefay would let the council know that this is, well, maybe what we need to do is take a vote on whether we support this concept. I see it as only a concept. And then Mr. Lefay could forward that to the council, or Mr. Carmichael could.
We can certainly do that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Lefay.
Yes. The plan, I've been working with Bill Lefay, City Council. I've been working with Rich, and before we take this to City Council, I would like to have the engineering drawings and a approximate cost. Mm-hmm. Rich has guaranteed that the senior center would fund a majority of this. So, and then we can take this to City Council with a plan of relocating the basketball courts in the amphitheater. This is what it's going to look like, and this is the approximate cost. And then they can start fundraising and see how that goes. So that's what I would like to do, and I've been working with Rich on this. So he needs to get to me the schematics, the cost, and then I think we bring it back here probably our June meeting, and hopefully by then we can then forward it to City Council, and I'll put it on the agenda.
Okay. We actually don't meet again until July. Does that help to give them more time?
Oh, that's right. July. I apologize.
Is that okay?
That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Faye. Appreciate that. Some good ideas. I like that.
Thank you.
I think we do need to have that a little bit more concrete than just a concept, and like, well, let's figure that out before you bring it in and have a better idea. and maybe even put two different spots for that basketball court instead of, you know, give a little leeway to where you want to put that.
Thank you very much. Mr. LaFay, Rich, and I will bring you a complete package next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pontes.
Any more comments from commissioners? Mr. Swall, anything else you'd like to say?
I think that's it. I think once we have a plan, a little more and cost, and that will be helpful.
So we'll put that on the... Mr. Carmichael, is this something that Mr. Wombolt would be interested in helping with, if it's really a tourist attraction?
That I don't know. From what I understand, is their primary objective is marketing tourists. Mm-hmm. I don't know if infrastructure, if that falls along their what they're supposed
infrastructure
to
that attracts mm-hmm. that is yeah. theirs or not. Okay.
Yeah, because that would be almost this entire city anywhere you turn. Revetments in the harbor, mm-hmm. piers, pilings. Okay. So, yeah.
Thank you. You're right. Okay, that takes care of C1. Kids' night out.
Okay, quickly. We hosted our February Kids' Night Out on Valentine's Day, February 14th. There were 17 children who attended, and as you can see, it was similar to what we've done every year. We had a 97% cost recovery, and they had a really great time, and we'll continue to offer those, as you saw that we are offering our next one in May.
Great. Any comments from any commissioners? Nope. Okay. How about C3?
Thank you very much. We had a great season of basketball. Basketball seems to be one of our pillars of our sports division, and we had divisions by two grades, so starting with first and second grade all the way up to eighth graders. It was the second year that we have done girls and boys divisions for the first and second grade. And what we've found is that our third and fourth grade girls divisions, the numbers showed the fact that these girls had a great time playing on the all-girls teams in first and second grade, because we jumped up from five teams to six teams for third and fourth grade girls. Third and fourth grade boys was 11 teams, if you can believe it. Yeah, we had 88 players in third and fourth grade, plus one team from Cambria. So. That's our biggest division there, and we partnered with the YMCA to host interleague play for fifth and sixth girls and seventh and eighth grade boys. So again, with the promotion of our girls players, we found that as we were doing games with the slow YMCA, there may have been an imbalance in competition where some issues arose just from our teams not trying to toot our own horn, but just being a little bit stronger than the San Luis Obispo teams. So maybe some turbulence there. So I'm not sure that we will be playing with the slow YMCA again. You know, the folks are great. You know, they mean well, but maybe it just wasn't the best fit for our program. I think we grew a little bit. We were just under 300 total participants, and we had a wonderful end of season tournament with the championship atmosphere. All of our staff did a great job. Youth services staff even helped out with the event. One of our kind of combination youth services and sports employees, Lilo Costa, she was the announcer for the event. And did a wonderful job. We had we turned the lights off in the gym and announced the starting lineups with music. It was a really fun basketball season. Big thanks to all of our sponsors. I think we had over 25 sponsors. The Kiwanis sponsored the end of the season tournament, and they are the biggest supporters of our basketball program. So our partnership with Kiwanis just extends to a lot of the different programs that we do. Yeah, it was a great basketball season. We did a good job of recovering costs. I think there's a lot of folks that show up late to the game here on the coast, and so they get to pay a $25 late fee for forgetting to sign up. So that definitely helped out. A lot of repeat offenders for that. It doesn't seem to deter them from signing up late for the next season. Even though we do market it, you know, starting on the 1st of October, they'll wait till after November to sign up right before we're creating teams. And yeah, basketball's great on the coast. Looking forward to seeing all the players as they continue to develop their skills, and we grow the community of basketball here in Estero Bay. So happy to answer any questions the commission may have about the program.
Thank you. That's great. Any commissioners want to make a comment or question?
Great program.
Thank you.
We love it. Okay, moving on to the brick challenge.
Okay, this past spring break 2025, we hosted another brick challenge camp from March 24th to the 28th. We had an average of 34 campers that every day. That's kind of a large amount for this program. So we were surprised, actually, to see this. But again, I think people just have heard how fun it is and the Lego concept, and they really loved that. We also added a few other things. This year, we got to go to the Morbay Aquatic Center and do a swim day because the weather was nice that one day, of course. I'm sure it went away and the fog came out, but kids will still swim. We also went to Del Mar Park and had a space exploration, and then we ended the whole entire week with a pajama party, always a favorite. We will continue to offer these events. The program cost a small amount because it's really just staffing. The rest is already things we have, and like I've mentioned before, the donations of Legos that we just continue to use. I'm even going to thank Commissioner Swall, because I've got my first donation from her of a Lego man. And so that will just continue to help our program and make it happen. So we are excited to continue to offer this, and we'll do it again next spring break.
I actually have a couple of questions. It really does make money. So do we either need to lower the price, or can we offer scholarships, or what can we do to, or do you have the capacity for more people?
Sure. We do offer scholarships, and actually a lot of our families use this because a lot of these families don't pay, they use the San Luis Coastal scholarship during the school year. A lot of them will use the Community Foundation scholarship for spring camp. So we did, I should add that in our report next time, how many families used scholarships. But scholarships cover 50% of the tuition. So families pay the 50%. The foundation gives the other 50%. I think we probably were a little low on staffing. I think next year I would probably up staffing a little bit. I know that there were days where maybe they could have used a few extra hands. So I think that's kind of, we weren't expecting as many, so we could have added more. So I think that's just, it just happened to be this way this time. And again, we had a lot of staff, or a lot of attendance. So
how does that get balanced when you get a higher attendance than you expect? Can you get people on call, or do you have to have planned that ahead of time?
We like to try to plan ahead of time. I think I probably could have just worked some staff a little longer. What happens sometimes is just with this odd spring break time, where I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but our district had spring break in March. So Cuesta and Cal Poly have different spring breaks. So a lot of our staff were still in school at the time. Luckily our high schoolers were available because they were out on spring break. And they obviously don't cost as much as my Cal Poly and Cuesta kids because they're a higher position. So we did supplement with extra high schoolers because they were the ones available at the time. But I think it was just this year it was the way spring break fell. Mm-hmm. I believe I've heard that they may be changing spring break back to times that are a little closer to the actual Easter holiday. So that may have played a part in it.
Okay. So no need to look at changing the fee schedule because that may get changed with the number of capacity and helpers.
I think we'll keep it the same this time and see how it goes next year. Our prices, when you put them up against other programs around here, we are actually the lower end of a lot of our registration prices. So,
and that's great.
Yeah.
I just don't want to make a bunch of money off of people.
Definitely. I was also surprised when I ran the report, and I thought, I ran it a few times because that was impressive too. But again, and we just had a lot of.
Yeah. Well, I think it speaks to the quality of your program.
Thank you.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. Any other commissioner want to make comment since I'm dominating a bit? Good comments? Okay. Okay, thank you so much. That brings us to future agenda items. If anyone has something they'd like to bring up. I have one, but anyone else first? Okay.
Well, I have one I'd like to propose.
Is it still in your...
Commissioner Swall, we need your microphone.
Thank you. I turn it off so you don't hear my heavy breathing. And something that we have talked about in the past in regard to an outing, I guess, for the commission is a tour of the parks. And I think it would be good if we could establish a date when that would work, that we could do a tour. I'm not sure if the trolley is still available for use or just use our cars. But perhaps, and I don't know how much is going to be going on in July other than pickleball, July might be an opportunity that we could meet as a group.
Well, it would be late July because it's the third Thursday, so that avoids the fourth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer about the trolley. I don't know if anyone knows. Mr. LeFay, do you know? Would you mind coming to the mic? Thank you.
When we transferred the trolley service over to the Slow Regional Transit Authority, they stated that we could use the trolley certain days and certain times for special events. So that would be something that I can look into and report back to you if you give me a date. And then it would probably be a good idea to have everyone just go on the trolley, and we just go from north to the south.
Yeah. Would they charge us since it's our trolley, but now it's their service, so they would charge us?
I don't know.
Okay.
I will get back to Kirk on that, okay?
That would be great.
I will do that.
Okay. And then, it seems timely with the pickleball thing where we could, when we go to Del Mar, we can look at the locations that the architect was proposing. Mm-hmm. So maybe... and he wants to bring that back at our July meeting, right. So maybe we'd want to do the trolley thing before the July meeting?
That would be calling a special meeting. But my first question before we go further, what is the intent, I think, is what I'm looking for? What's the purpose of our tour?
Well, I think we've always had a tour. I think it's good for us to be familiar with either the current condition. Are there things that we need to see? I don't know if Mr. Qualick has pursued the new recreation equipment for the kids in those three different parks, if that's something for us to look at. I think it's also just a goodwill tour thing for us to know what it is we're looking at and what we're responsible for.
And now I would add the pickleball item that we're going to be giving a recommendation, and be a good time to eyeball that.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I asked that question only because we're here as or the Recreation Services Division is here in an awkward, dysfunctional arrangement.
Yes.
Managing this body when we don't do park development.
Right.
So that's why I asked the question, because when we've been discussing this for months now, mm-hmm. and the final response from the Public Works Director was, no, they're not going to do a parks tour with us. So my question, I posed the question because I'm not in a position to speak to maintenance or park development on the tour.
So if they won't do it with us, will they do it for us? Like when he spoke with us before, he said he would look to us for policy.
Correct.
And then they do the actual hands-on mm-hmm. nitty-gritty stuff.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he needs to facilitate us mm-hmm. to with our policy decisions mm-hmm. By looking at the parks.
I think that's a wonderful idea. So I can go ahead and request that of the city manager and public works director to see if they would support this.
And our preference would be to do that before our meeting in July. Is that true, Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, we'll have a special meeting for that.
Yes.
Yes, I'm all for it.
You're all for it.
So we'll check our calendar to see if we are able to squeeze in another meeting. This is our extremely busy time.
Yes.
So whether or not we're able to do that, I'm happy to go ahead and send out emails to you folks to let you know mm-hmm. If that's something that we're able to entertain. But again, I'll reach out to the city manager for direction with the Public Works Director and his involvement, and then I guess we can go ahead and just do an email exchange.
That would be great.
Okay.
We appreciate it, because as you said, we've been talking about it for months. Yeah, cool. One that I had was a few weeks ago, and I would assume it was through Public Works, that the North Point natural area was leveled, was mowed down. Even though it was in full bloom with a native flowers, and what that or why that was done, I wrote to the city. I received no as a private citizen. I wrote to the city, received no response. So I'll be pursuing that. But what that did for me was then make me go to the general plan, the zoning ordinance, and say, what is the commissioner's responsibility then in terms of natural areas? Because what happened was when the city, adopted the new general plan, they took the definition of a park and they split it in half. So we now have resource parks and we have people parks. And I think before, this commission was basically doing policy for people parks. But now that parks has been added to natural areas, then are we also privy to giving policy decision with regard to natural areas, which would be like what is currently called the Riley Park, the natural area up at North Point, and that kind of thing. So all that long statement to say, I would like to present item for the commission reviewing what is in the general plan so we can see where and how we fit into that now, if at all. And maybe that might require Mr. Singwald having some input. Maybe it wouldn't, as our community development director. But I think that we need to understand how the general plan was redone and would affect this commission.
Okay. Could that be solved in an email, do you think, to Mr. Singwald?
I don't think so. I think that's something that we would want to publicly discuss and say, is the public aware that now we have different kinds of parks in our city that we never had before, and that each of them has kind of a different, not just a different use, that's part of it, but
like a category designation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they have different purposes, mm-hmm. and changing that label, does that do something to the commission, or maybe it doesn't?
In my education and experience in this field, a natural area is a park.
Okay.
A passive park is Franklin Riley Park.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard, and we talked about this, Madam Commissioner, the people and resource parks. I've never heard them phrased like that in my
30-some-odd years. I know. It's brand new language in our GP. It was never there before.
So in my understanding and opinion here, it's a natural area. It's a park. It's an open space. That all falls under park.
Parks.
Mm-hmm. It's park. How else, I don't know any other type of oversight that we would, a body that we would sign to oversee these types of nuances. So I'm just using my logic, I think, to say this is, it's their park areas. And we would exercise our whatever responsibilities that the commission has over parks would be included.
Yeah, so your opinion is, even though it was not labeled that way prior, it hasn't changed, even though the labels have changed?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. LaFay?
Excuse me, I have the City of Morro Bay's operating and capital budget proposed version in the introduction, community-based parks, resource-based parks.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I just happened to glance at this, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that we should discuss.
Okay.
But they both do say park. They're parks. I agree. I understand.
resource-based and...
Resource-based park. It could be a space park. It could be a bakery park or whatever. It's a park. I'm making things up now. It's a park. And we discussed parks here. So, I think I'm missing something.
Let me make something up, and then we can trash it. You can bash it.
No. I'm trying to better understand if we're charged with recommendations on parks.
Yes. Then there's no discussion. You're saying
correct.
So my prior experience was this commission had nothing to do with open space or natural areas, that kind of fell under, I don't know who, but not under us. But now that they've attached the word park to it, it seems like we might have a little of authority.
So I would recommend, again, just an email to the city manager for clarification, and maybe that would make its way to the community services or community development director for an official determination.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if it
wants to come back. Depending on that response.
I like that.
Then we would agendize it subsequently down the line.
If necessary.
If necessary.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Does that work with you?
If that's okay, sure. I'll send that email. Okay.
Now, did you want to author that as the chair of the Rec and Parks Commission?
I would love to.
Okay.
But I'll do it, and I'll run it by you.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, was there anything else anybody wanted to agendize? We've got our tour. We've got our pickleballs. We might have something with the general plan, but probably not. We got great programs going on with the kids. My gosh, they've got to be happy. I hope they're happy. Okay. Staff's happy. Okay, anything else?
I would like to mention the Morro Elementary School.
Okay.
Morro School, it's now going to continue, I understand, from council meeting two nights ago, and continue for pursuing possible purchase by the city. So that's... It's part of the recreational area in a lot of use by this group. So that was a positive outcome, I thought. At least they're going to continue. And anyway.
Yeah. They voted to begin negotiations for 90 days minimum with the school district, which would greatly impact your division. Absolutely.
We do use Morro Elementary field for our soccer program in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, flag football. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if the city ended up acquiring that facility, that may mean more work, depending on what ends up happening with that building or the fields.
Mm-hmm.
If things get moved around, if they stay the same, if, I mean, who knows?
Right.
Who knows? So, yeah, it's nice to acknowledge that, that happened.
Good.
Okay. We're good over here? We're good over here? Okay. And staff has nothing else, and we're good. Okay, meeting's adjourned at whatever time it is. 7:16? Okay, thank you.